to Hacker Soccer. I'm Jacob Petticord.
I'm Andre Garibe.
And we are here with episode 51.
Episode 51. It feels so much less monumental.
Yeah, it's our second week in Seattle.
Yeah.
Not quite the milestone episode that last week was, but we still got some good news to come at you with. So yep.
We got some stuff in the works. We're going to have a really awesome summer. Hopefully we'll have some awesome guests on over the summer. And we don't really know if we're gonna do a main topic for this episode, but we also just watched the first game of the NBA Finals, so yeah. We've just kind of been enjoying our summer, but we do have some really good news for y'all.
Yeah, so first off, in our follow-up, we have some new report on the Facebook coin, the Facebook crypto coin.
Yes.
They have a name. Allegedly, the BBC came out with this report with this new info. Allegedly it's going to be called the Global Coin, which I think is just like the most like, you know, mega corp name.
That's
like,
so bad.
If you're like making a sci-fi movie and you have to come up with something for a big company to call their like, you know, world dominating currency, Global Coin would be up there.
There are several children's movies in which the villainous corporation is literally called Megacorp.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
It's so reportedly it's going to be launching in Q1 of 2020, so still a little ways out. But apparently they're going to be bringing it to their messenger applications as a way to send money earlier than that, which, I mean, you know, we've all seen the rise of Venmo and Cash App and everything, so they're a little late to the boat in terms of that, because if they would have had this a lot earlier, you know, I mean, obviously they wouldn't have been able to tell that it was going to be quite such a craze, but
yeah.
People sending each other money, you know, if it was all built into Facebook from the beginning, it definitely would have been huge. But now that everyone's on Venmo, I'll be curious to see like how big it actually gets.
Exactly. Like payment processing is huge, and obviously Venmo did it right because they're used by so many people, at least young people. But using crypto for this, it works. I mean, it makes sense technologically, but it's just kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, and I mean, just for the payments over messaging side of things, like, who is not on a platform now because, you know, they're waiting for someone like Facebook to do it? I mean, at this point, Apple has their own. There's, obviously, we said the Venmo and the Cash App, but, I mean, no one's sitting around waiting for Facebook to launch this thing. They're already using these other platforms. So, I mean, Facebook's main killer feature will just be that you can use it to send money to the people who aren't on, you know, connected with you on the other things.
Yeah, but
and then eventually when their cryptocurrency launches, like, it's just gonna be a whole different thing. Like, who even knows where all is gonna go?
Yeah. I mean, you're still gonna, like, you're gonna open up Facebook and you're gonna send money and you're gonna add funds to your Facebook account using Apple Pay, right?
Well,
like,
yeah.
There's the hardware is still Apple. The hardware is still Google.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to change.
Those guys have their own payments.
Facebook
stuff,
doesn't have the hardware that it's going to take for them to really take off with this. So maybe they just shouldn't.
Yeah. I mean, I think really where it'll be big is if somehow, you know, they can be the ones that get online merchants on board. But I don't really see, you know, we talked about it last week, how their only main advantage in that front is that a lot of these online merchants are already using some Facebook software.
Yeah.
But I don't think the trend is going towards, you know, letting Facebook take over more of your business. I think people
Your data.
Yeah, I think people are realizing, you know, the harmful effects of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think the trend's going away from that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Looks like we still have a long time to, you know, hear more news reports coming about the global coin, but it's definitely something that's worth keeping an eye on. So next, something that's worth keeping an eye on as well is what Mackenzie Bezos is going to do with her money that she got from her and Jeff Bezos' divorce. She got $37 billion, like we talked about, made her one of the wealthiest women in the world. And she's kind of announced some of her philanthropy plans of what she's going to do with that money. She joined the Giving Pledge, which is kind of the pact. The group of philanthropists.
All the billionaires.
Started by the Bill and Melinda Gates, talking about pledging to give away half of their inheritance or half of their wealth over the course of their life. And with $37 billion, you know, being at her stage of life, like, she still has a lot of time left, but that's a lot of money to give away.
Yes.
And she's only going to keep making more and more money off of that money. So she said, she's in a quote, she said she's going to keep giving until the safe is empty. But this move, you know, to, if she does follow through with this pledge, and if she, you know, follows through with what she's saying, she is going to be like one of the most prominent philanthropists in the U.S. just by the virtue of the fact that she's going to have to start giving away, you know, billions of dollars a year.
Yeah. And notably, pretty sure Jeff Bezos isn't a part of this pledge, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. So like when she came out and said she was joining the pledge, Jeff like was like, oh, she's going to be an amazing philanthropist and all this stuff supporting her. But like, he has definitely not joined the pledge.
Yeah.
I think he's definitely more up the alley of like, I'm going to build rockets and that's going to be my contribution, you know, which is an interesting way to go.
Especially being worth $100 billion.
Yeah. And at a certain point, it's like, you have $100 billion. It'd be dangerous to try to give away a lot of that money. Like, that's the type of money that can ruin even like a decently sized organization.
Yeah.
So just philanthropy at that high of a level gets extremely complicated, I would imagine.
Really does.
And, you know, obviously becomes these people's full-time jobs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so now we got some news. This is actually a fun sports-related one. Automated umpires are being tested behind home plate. So in one of the minor leagues, the Atlantic League, which isn't like officially affiliated with the MLB, but is like one of the smaller ones, and the MLB's been is going to be watching this experiment. They're using a system called TrackMan to call balls and strikes. And so this is TrackMan has been like a company that's been like collecting data on sports for a while now, but they're launching this new system that will sit behind home plate, and the umpire will have it in their ear, and when a pitch is thrown, the system will call ball or strike within like, you know, under like a millisecond or something like that, and then it's up to the umpire still to make the official call.
Interesting. Yeah, so I the Nebraska baseball team was playing in the Big Ten championship the other day, and I don't watch baseball unless one of the teams I like is doing well and they're in the playoffs. So last year I watched the Red Sox win the World Series and it was great, and I watched the World Series and that was the only baseball I watched all season.
Yeah, it's like me with the Royals.
Yeah, I'm still a Red Sox fan. But I was watching this Husker game, and some of the, like, they on the TV they show you like where the strike zone is, and you can very clearly see that the umpires are making bad calls on several pitches, and I was like, we have the technology to do this, why don't we use it? And this could be a really good way to do that.
Yeah, and there's obviously, you know, the human side of things. I know the discussion around this, people were talking about how catchers, you know, there's been a huge skill developing around like painting the strike zone and all this stuff that I don't really understand that well, and how this kind of takes some of that factor out of it, if it does end up replacing the umpires. And so I think it definitely starts an interesting conversation of like, you know, you could see a lot of sports where maybe if it's not just like something that can see a strike zone, it's a more like machine learning-y thing where like, you know, if we could replace refs in not just baseball, but like basketball or football with machines that we knew would like, you know, have higher accuracies than humans, like, would we want to? Does that kind of like take some of the, you know, playing the refs out of the game? Should that even be part of the game? I think it'll be like a discussion we're going to have as this technology keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, but especially with baseball, a sport that's really kind of dying with the younger generations, it takes so long, it's not doing well on TV. I just saw a report today that through this point in the season, it's their fourth consecutive year down in attendance.
Oh, wow.
They need to change, because it's always been like, this is how we do baseball, but that doesn't work when we've been doing baseball like this since the Civil War.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I definitely, just anecdotally, baseball seemed less popular, but I didn't realize like it's facing such a downward trend.
Yeah,
I don't know, because there's players that, I mean, we've seen in the NBA players that people, you know, compliment how good they are at playing the refs, like James Harden and stuff, like he'll get like half of his offense is getting good calls. And I mean, if that's not an option, is that just like, that wasn't really a valid way to play the game, or is it like something we should miss?
But especially with something so objective like the strike zone.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's definitely a start to really pushing technology in sports. And I definitely think there are other sports like football, hockey even, that could really use this kind of stuff.
Yeah, where there's areas that's a little more objective.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so next, talking more about billionaires and their rockets, Elon Musk's Starlink internet constellation has begun. And if that sounds like, you know, some weird sci-fi, like apocalyptic movie, you're probably thinking along the right lines, because essentially what the Starfleet internet constellation is it's a large network of satellites that SpaceX is launching to cover the world in internet, which, you know, at the base of it is a really cool idea, but it's also a little terrifying.
Yeah, isn't that the plot to Kingsman?
Yeah.
You know, where the evil corporate overlord tries to get everybody to kill everybody else with the computer chips?
I just think it's crazy because if this type of thing would have happened, you know, a couple years ago, everyone would have been like thrilled. You know, the talk around Elon Musk was so incredibly different, and it shifted so much since he, you know, the whole calling people pedophiles.
Well, yeah, since he's become a madman. If Bill Gates were doing this, everybody would be on board.
Yeah, it's kind of it's interesting. I mean, obviously, if he, like, this is still an interesting venture, because so what this was it was their first launch. They launched 60 satellites, and it was their like heaviest payload that they put into orbit to date. So I mean, it's an impressive feat.
Yeah,
and 60 satellites is cool. It's a good like first run. They're saying once they launch 800, they'll be able to start some operations. But the idea is these things go into like geostationary orbit, where like they are rotating at the same speed as the Earth, and so they're able to like provide internet over an area, and paying customers can pay for internet. This type of stuff, people, like a lot of the big corporations are looking for solutions to, you know, getting internet to the next set of areas, like Africa and India. I know Google's approach, or at least one of their moonshots, is like hot air balloons to float internet over those regions. Which is interesting. I think these satellites, you know, when we think about the way current satellite technology is used, like satellite TVs, no one would be really excited if they heard that's what's going to be delivering stuff to their phone. It's like, oh, so the clouds are going to mess with my internet. But
yeah,
I haven't done too much research into it. I hope that there's, you know, this is like next generation stuff where, you know, it's just as good as the towers. But there's a part of me that thinks we have towers for a reason.
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely an interesting subject of like universal internet connection. Mm-hmm. And I've even seen conversations about whether or not connection to the internet is a human right at this point because of the vitality of it to exist in the modern world. And obviously that's a completely different topic, but it's going to be much easier to have that discussion if there's more available networks.
Yeah, I mean, there's some like human rights future where you could imagine like a like group of countries coming together and just launching these satellites themselves and you know, providing the internet to other nations and stuff like that. But if, you know, a private company is incentivized to do that first, there could be a lot of money in covering the world with internet.
Yeah.
Which I think is just, you know, crazy.
Maybe this Mackenzie another, Bezos should spend all her money to do that.
It's just another one of those crazy things where it's like, okay, I mean, Elon Musk says he's doing this. Yeah. If it's a success, it means insane things for the stock price of this company.
Yeah.
But who really knows, you know, how possible any of this stuff is at this point. But they're saying that in the end, it could have up to 12,000 satellites in the air to kind of cover all of the regions that are talking about covering for their first phase, which is crazy. So this is obviously just kind of a first small step. But I think the beginning of the commercialization of this stuff will be something to watch for sure, because it'll be like with this first generation of satellites, I think it'll be telling to see if consumers like if it what advantages it can really provide, you know, especially when they're launching. It'll probably be in limited areas. So it's like, is this a replacement for your cellular connection?
Yeah.
You know, it's a very different thing, and it's not something you think about that much. Like, what does the next generation of internet look like? Because hopefully it's not, you know, internet tower or like cellular towers forever.
Yeah.
Because it's not a perfect solution for a lot of different cases. Yeah, it's not
the best way to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so the next story we've got, I'm actually really excited about this. It's the new iPod Touch.
Yeah, so the iPod Touch is actually something where I think you find that like there's niches that are extremely excited about something like this coming up. So it's $200. It starts at $200. It has the new A10 chip, and it can run all the latest software, which means it can do all of the AR stuff that the new phones can do. Mm-hmm. It can do things that my current phone can't do, and it's $200, which is just insane.
Yeah, so I have several younger siblings. I have four siblings that are 10 or younger. Mm-hmm. So obviously the iPod Touch is like the device that you would think, but there hasn't been an iPod Touch in like 5 years.
Yeah.
Like my sister wasn't even born the last time the iPod Touch came out, which is really weird to think about. But when I was their age, I had an iPod Touch and I had like saved up $100 and I bought an old iPod Touch, like Gen 2 or whatever.
Yeah, same.
And so I bought that and it was like my favorite thing as a kid. Obviously iPhones weren't nearly as big. The iPhone came out after the iPod Touch that I got came out, but
well, and the iPhones were just like, they were chunkier. Exactly. Like something that like maybe a couple parents had, you know?
Yeah. And now it's like my oldest younger sibling has, he's 10. He has an iPhone 6S, something like that. So a relatively old iPhone, but his does have service on it now, but it took quite a while for me to convince my parents that, oh yeah, he's going into middle school next year. Like he's going to need a phone with service on it. Right.
Yeah.
And just in general, you kind of start getting phones at younger ages now, but my other younger siblings just have like an iPhone 4, which is so old that it barely works, right? So this iPod Touch is really not terribly expensive and is infinitely more usable than one of those old iPhones.
Yeah, so the strategy of handing down the iPhone to the kids is something that, you know, seems fairly obvious. But when you look at the way they're selling phones today, it's like, oh, you know, the new iPhone is this much money with a trade-in. So there's so much incentives around like trading your phone or giving it back to your carrier and everything that it does make sense for Apple not just to rely on, you know, handing down older phones because, you know, at a certain point, either you're going to trade it in or it's going to be so old that it's not going to be incredibly useful. Or, you know, if you are a parent who trades in like the new XS Max, you know, you could hand that thing down in the fall to your kid, or you could sell it, have like, you know, $600 left over and then buy three of them for your three kids. I mean, it just makes so much more sense. Mm-hmm. And when you look at what this thing comes with, it can go up to 256 gigs of storage, which I think is crazy when you look at like what it used to have. But
yeah, I mean, when like 64 was the max you could get on it.
Yeah, you could load that thing up on enough movies to last, you know, any type of airline flight and games and everything, you know, for a kid. And it still comes with a headphone jack, which
that's important for young kids. Like, you're not going to get an 8-year-old a pair of Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah, and I think that this is one of the moments where, you know, we don't see this a lot. We don't see Apple making concessions to like
inclusive design.
To inclusive design and, you know, lower price points.
Yeah.
But this is something where it would have been extremely tone deaf to, you know, launch this thing without a headphone jack.
Yeah.
But if they would have done it, it would have been like, yeah, that's just what they're doing these days.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that it does have a headphone jack, like, so what, their solution to not putting one on the phones is like, oh, use AirPods.
Yeah.
And they've been doing that for, you know, years now.
Apple technologies are not particularly accessible.
Yeah. But if you're going to hand this thing to a kid, you're not going to hand a kid AirPods. Like, those just don't make sense. And Bluetooth headphones are so expensive. And you still see, you know, the wired AirBuds everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, those things are still everywhere. That's still what you would want to hand a kid. And so the fact that it's on there just makes sense. There's not even Touch ID on this thing, let alone Face ID.
It literally looks the same as the old iPods, but with a different colored back.
Yeah, they didn't update the design. Like, there's no edge-to-edge screen. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's still a mechanical
home
button on
there.
It's
like classic old. There's a single camera facing the front.
It's pretty recognizable to the stuff that we used to have.
Yeah, like
But it's affordable. It's incredibly affordable.
That's the point. It's $200. That's that's crazy cheap for an Apple product.
So the other places that these things end up are like in some enterprise solutions. It makes sense to have a device like in a warehouse to scan things.
Yeah,
and at $200
that doesn't necessarily need an LTE network.
Yep.
It can just use Wi-Fi.
Or like in the Apple stores, they use these to check people out. You could do a similar thing with a Square system. Mm-hmm. A waiter could carry one of these things around instead of a big iPad or something like that. But yeah, I think it is a good product launch. Obviously, they're getting it out of the way before WWDC. They didn't want to take up stage time. That's going to be next week. We will spend enough time talking about it next week that I don't really want to talk about it that much this week.
Yep.
I'm excited to watch it, but we will be back with that next week. Yeah.
One more thing I just want to say about this. I look at this device, and it makes me feel like it has a 30-pin connector on the bottom. On their site, they don't actually show the bottom. Obviously, it has lightning, but I'm looking at this, and I just feel like
it does plug
a big, fat rectangle into the bottom.
Well, because we haven't seen bezels that thick and a physical home button since the days where there was a 30-pin connector.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But the fact that it's running the latest operating system, I just think is hilarious.
Because with
it's
an such A10 an old chip.
Form factor, and it's such a tiny screen. But yeah. Oh, and speaking of kids playing games on these things, that you reminded me of something. You reminded me of a sickness that has plagued me and my roommates for the last couple days. So do you remember Supercell, the people that made Clash of Clans?
Yeah, they have that new game.
Brawl Stars.
Brawl Stars, yeah.
So we were hanging out in the apartment, and my roommate Ari was playing a game, and I was like, oh crap, I think that's Brawl Stars, and I haven't played it yet. So I was like, oh, let me just download it so I can play with him, some roommate bonding. I can see what it's about. And I downloaded it, and then, an hour later, Ben downloaded it, my other roommate, and then Change J downloaded it, my other roommate, and all of a sudden, we were playing Brawl Stars till 1 in the morning a couple nights in a row. And holy crap, we played it at work a little bit. Like, this game is taken over our lives. It is a very good game. If you have any interest in mobile gaming, I would highly recommend checking it out, but it's also kind of a sickness, so...
Yeah. Aren't all Supercell games? Remember back in like freshman year of high school when Clash of Clans took over everything?
Clash Royale was big.
Yeah, that was big.
My dad still plays Clash Royale. When I was home, he'll go sit out on the porch, drink his coffee, plays Clash Royale. So maybe he should get into Brawl Stars.
The Supercell 3-year game cycles are something else.
Yes, I mean, it's a hit machine.
It really is.
It's kind of crazy. But yeah, it's a very good game.
Yeah.
But it's a... I'm ashamed.
Yeah. All right. So our next story is something that I saw last week. And while we were reading the news, I put the link into the notes, but we didn't actually get to the story last week. So this is this story is from a week ago because it came out the day we recorded. But it's about a Redditor who, a foreign Redditor, so a non-American Redditor, who was able to remain anonymity in a U.S. court case. I sort of read up on this. Did you read up on this as well?
I read the article, yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting and very precedent setting in that the Redditor is using Reddit, which is a U.S.-based company.
Yeah.
So basically they said if anybody is using a U.S.-based service, they maintain... U.S. freedom of speech rights on that service.
Yeah, and he was being sued by like a Jehovah's Witness group, right?
Yeah.
So it was some religious thing, which I thought was interesting. But yeah, they ruled that the speech was protected because it was a U.S. company, which I was kind of surprised that like this was a new precedent being set. It kind of feels like something that should have came up.
Yeah, definitely. But... Like Facebook has been existent for...
Yeah.
Over 10 years. And
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that on Reddit, they make it easy to be anonymous, whereas some of these other things, it would be easy to connect the dots, figure out who someone is.
Yeah.
But so basically, the court case can continue, but this person will be referred to by their Reddit handle in all public documents, and only the prosecuting team will be able to see his actual identity in terms of like testimony.
Yeah.
And they're not allowed to share it with their clients.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting.
Yeah. Also, I just kind of find it funny that this guy's going to be referred to in a court case as Dark Spilver.
Yeah.
Because I'm assuming Dark Silver was taken.
Yeah, so Dark Spilver will be, a real internet rights legend.
Yes. Yeah, that was just kind of an interesting little quick story that I had seen last week and thought we might want to talk about.
Okay, I have a question for you, Andre. Have you seen the new Dell XPS 2-in-1?
I'm loading it right now. Oh my god.
Pull up that screen and tell me what you think.
That is quite the screen. Like, I know Dell XPS has been known to, like, have the most amazing screen of any high-end laptop, right?
Yeah, so the XPS is Dell's, like, you know, high-end hardware line, and they have been on a roll. Like, when I was looking into buying a computer for college, they were definitely the one to get if you were on Windows.
Yeah, they were the Windows computer I considered besides my MacBook. I'm very glad I went with the MacBook, yeah. But, like, an XPS...
They have the hardware quality nailed, and so this is their newest version that just came out. And I mean, the things that stand out to me is the crazy bezels.
Yeah, one of the things
that,
so small.
Yeah, one of the things that helps achieve that is Dell custom made a camera to be like the smallest one they've ever used, and it's able to sit on the top bezel. They don't have to do any of the crazy like
bottom.
Yeah, put it
bezel,
in the keyboard thing to look up your nose hairs. And they're able to keep the bezels incredibly thin. On the sides that matter. I mean, there's a bit of a chin, but like that's where your fingers go anyways.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that hardware is crazy. And when you look at what Apple announced last week with the speed bumps, it makes you wonder, you know, are we really going to go this whole year without a redesign? And with their big event next week, it's like some people are still thinking that they're going to announce that 16-inch laptop we talked about a while ago.
Yeah, the one that Ming-Chi Kuo said would be another year or two.
Yeah, which I mean, I'm not really in that camp because I don't think you announce new hardware in the laptop line if you're about to announce a brand new laptop next week. Some people were like, oh, well, it's still within the 14-day return window. But I just think that Apple's not going to, you know, plan on having people do returns. And I think if they were going to talk about new MacBooks, it would have been easy for them to say, here's the new MacBook with the new redesign. And we also speed bumped these old ones just in one slide.
Yeah.
So I really don't think, you know, we're going to get that new form factor next week, mm-hmm. which is crazy because when you look at, you know, how long the Windows laptops and the Dell XPS specifically has had this, like, you know, almost bezel-less design that the MacBook has been lacking, and they're making it even better, and Apple still has not came out with their new design.
Yeah, so... One of the things here is that people are like, oh, WWDC, maybe we'll see a laptop refresh.
Mm-hmm.
WWDC stands for Worldwide Developer Conference. It is a software-based, we always see the new iOS previews.
Yeah.
Ever since 2017, when they announced the HomePod at WWDC, we've seen a lot of people really care about them releasing hardware at WWDC, which is...
Well, and historically, that's where, like, a lot of the developer machines get launched. Because, you know, back when they used to launch the Mac Pros...
Yeah, exactly.
They haven't done one of those in a while, but theoretically, there's going to be something about the new one this year.
Yeah.
That's not really a machine that's interesting from a consumer standpoint, almost.
Yeah, like, consumer hardware is
It's going to be over,
not...
like, at least over $5,000, which is...
Yeah.
Out of, you know, everyone's
price range.
It's ridiculous. And the MacBook Pros have become a bit more consumer, and you could see them making a space for it in the conference, but it just, I mean, the fact that they released a speed bump the week before,
yeah.
You know, the amount of people who would say, like, oh, I want those new things because they're probably not going to launch anything else this year because these are the, you know, 2019 MacBooks.
I think we'll see an actual MacBook Pro redesign next year.
I think we have to.
We got the MacBook.
It's been a long time.
Been 4 years at
they
that
have
point,
to get
which
rid
is
of
crazy.
These keyboards.
Yeah, because when you think about it, any space gray MacBook Pro, you immediately think, oh, that's the new MacBook Pro,
mm-hmm.
right? Because obviously MacBook Pros age really well. Like, you can still use a 2013 MacBook Pro and it's 2019.
Yeah.
And then there was, so like 2013 to 2015 had a pretty standard design that was the pre-2016. But since 2016, we haven't really seen anything but speed bumps.
We haven't seen anything but speed bumps. Like, that's the laptop I have, and so it still looks like I have the newest one.
Exactly. Like, I have a late 2016 model MacBook Pro, and it looks the exact same as anything I could get
today.
And
the biggest change is if you type on them, the new keyboards feel a little squishier, which, I mean, I don't really like that.
Yeah,
but,
I prefer the clickier keyboard.
But they're supposedly, you know, not as fragile, and if you read any tech news, you've seen, you know, just what a thing it's been with all these MacBook keyboards breaking. And I've been lucky with mine so far.
Mm-hmm.
But that replacement program we talked about last week is definitely, very necessary.
Yeah. But Dell, that's what we started this conversation with.
Yeah.
Kind of buried the lead there, but, Dell is just like doing it right. I mean, it's good hardware.
Well, and here's the other factor we didn't talk about. Even if Apple does launch a redesign and it's got nice bezels, they fix the keyboard, maybe get rid of the worthless touch bar. If they do launch a redesign, it's not going to be touchscreen like the XPS is.
Exactly.
It's a 2-in-1 because you can fold the screen back and use it as a 13-inch tablet,
yeah,
which is bigger than any iPad screen. I mean,
and it has the best screen on any laptop. Like that infinity display or whatever they call it is amazing. Yeah. And if you tent it, you set it on a desk, you're watching Netflix on a really nice screen.
Yeah, and when you want to talk about, like, oh, what's the best laptop to bring to class? Like, a 13-inch is a perfect size. Tiny bezels makes it even smaller. And then a touchscreen so where you can take hand notes if you want to.
Yeah.
You know, then you wouldn't have to be like me carrying around the iPad and the MacBook because, you know, not everybody can do the two-machine thing.
Yeah.
And I got the MacBook just because it was what was best at the time. But
exactly.
And the ecosystem, but
But
if I started with an XPS, maybe I wouldn't have had to buy an iPad because I wanted to take hand notes, you know?
Yeah. Who knows? If I had gotten the XPS after graduating high school, maybe I wouldn't have this iPad and maybe I'd be on Pixel by now.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You would have had less of a reason to stay.
I wouldn't have to have dealt with boot camp last semester.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we're going to get into that, but yeah. Yeah. Right. And maybe, you know, you wouldn't have to deal with all the money.
Yeah.
That's related to those purchasing choices.
Yes.
Okay, last piece of news. Our good friends over at ByteDance.
Yes.
The giant Chinese megacorp, speaking of. It's a lot of, you know, mega corporations this episode.
Yes. Should we...
ByteDance is the TikTok people. They call themselves AI company. And if you want to... One of the notes that I put here after reading this article, I didn't really realize, you know, how much they do besides TikTok. I kind of alluded to it before, but... Not really explained it. Really, the sun really never does set on the ByteDance empire, from what I can tell. So essentially, they have TikTok, which is massive up-and-coming social media platform, even bigger in Asian countries. They have other social media platforms. They have a news aggregator company that is huge. And they are starting a music streaming service. And when you're thinking, huh, what, you know, edge can we do to push these services to more people? Well, now they're going to start making a smartphone, apparently.
Why?
It's crazy.
Like, I mean, it makes sense, but goodness gracious. I don't get it. These giant Chinese tech conglomerates like ByteDance and Tencent just have so much money.
What's that? You know, you don't like using TikTok? What if, you know, it came pre-installed on your phone and it was kind of hard to get off your phone?
And
maybe
you
then you would use TikTok
it.
More.
Exactly. Like,
and they could track everything you did instead of just, you know, when you were in the TikTok app.
Back in like iOS 6 when you like couldn't delete YouTube off of your phone, your iPhone.
It oh boy.
That old boxy TV look.
That's a long ways away from now, not being able to delete YouTube.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
It doesn't even come installed on the phone.
Yeah. But yeah, anyways, so companies that have tried this in the past, Amazon,
that didn't work.
Fire Phone, absolute train wreck. I mean,
yeah,
didn't sell anything. Facebook, people probably don't even know there was a Facebook phone.
I didn't even know there was a Facebook phone.
It was definitely a, targeted at a very low price point and not extremely successful, and they stopped launching it. But it was kind of the same thing where they were like, you know, we're Facebook, you know, people love us, they love our product, why don't we sell them the hardware to use our product with, which is very different, you know, sentiment than they would have had now.
Oh, I'm looking at it, it's so bad.
Let
I
me
mean,
see
obviously
it.
It's from 2013, but it is not good.
Oh, that is an ugly boy.
Bad,
that is
bad,
an ugly little
very, very
rat.
Bad. Worse than the Fire Phone, worse than the Microsoft phone, which is another one that they tried to make. Pretty much every Google Nexus phone pre-Pixel.
That reminds me of
great.
Something that made me laugh. I was watching, or I was doing research on the Minecraft AR thing last week, and I saw in their FAQ, there's a question that said, what Windows phones will there work with? Will this work with? And I was like, what Windows phones are there? Like, I didn't even know they were still operating. I thought those things shut down.
Yeah.
But yeah, if Microsoft and Facebook and Amazon all can't, you know, get their own phones going,
yeah,
you know, maybe it'll take one of these giant Chinese tech conglomerates
I mean, it took
Google really
until 3 years ago now? 2016, is that when the original Pixel came out?
Probably.
Yeah, it took them until 2016 to really
make a good phone.
Yeah.
And that didn't even break them in. Like, this is probably, this 3A might be the first phone that the actually 3A. Breaks them into the market.
Yeah. And I mean, I have a Nexus 6P as my test phone for work, and I can verify that it is not a good phone, and I do not like using it. wish I had gotten a Pixel as a test phone, but it's more pertinent to my bug to have a slower phone. So
there you go.
You know, other companies that couldn't super break into the phone area, Red, a camera company.
Yeah, that is, you know, technically still pending.
Didn't really make a phone.
Technically still pending on whether they come out with those attachments.
They made a camera with a touchscreen.
They made a they made a camera, you know, computing unit with a touchscreen, and not even really the camera attached yet. And they haven't really sold you the camera part, because really it just has like the high-end smartphone sensor in it. It doesn't have like, you know, all the crazy stuff. The professional stuff they were promising.
Camera, yeah, the $1,000 attachments.
Yeah, so that.
Yeah.
Razer probably Razer has done
phone,
the best out of
Razer phone. They made a really good 1080 display, not 2K, but.
It was 120 hertz though. Like it was. Yeah, the it's first one exactly.
It's,
had
it's the, a great gaming phone. 120 hertz.
High refresh
amazing
rate.
Amazing sound. From what I've heard, and really good performance. Still not something that they could really break into. Nokia's coming back. Apparently, Nokia does have Windows phone operating system on their phones, on their smartphones.
I honestly had no idea that that was. I for some reason thought Windows Phone was done.
Yeah. I don't remember.
I could buy a Windows phone right now?
Yeah, let's buy one.
No.
$55.
$55?
From T-Mobile, no contract.
Oh, boy.
I remember back in, like, 7th grade, probably, when I first got an iPhone. It probably was about 8th grade. Like, a year after I got my first iPhone, I jailbroke it. It was an iPhone 4S. And I jailbroke it, and I thought it was the coolest thing that I could make my UI look like the Microsoft phone UI. So I basically had a switch where I could turn it from the iOS UI to the Microsoft phone UI. And I thought that was really cool. And I tried to use the Microsoft phone UI, and it was awful.
Oh, tiles actually, you know, might not be the best idea.
Yeah. We should definitely look up some more failed phones and talk about those at a later date. But
yeah, that'd be a fun topic.
The ByteDance smartphone,
just like the weird tech graveyard.
Yeah, the ByteDance smartphone is just something that I don't know. Giant Chinese tech companies can kind of do whatever they want at this point because they own everything. But I'm interested to see if this, on top of all this Huawei news, maybe ByteDance will use the Huawei operating system that's supposed to launch in like a month.
is that a move to buy the ByteDance phone? Like, is that just like edgy enough that like you're like, oh,
just
yeah.
edgy enough? Not. It might be a little too. Because
it's
idiotic.
Like TikTok is like. Not hipster or like
not
in
at all,
but like is using some like weird esoteric phone by the TikTok people cool? Like, can anyone pull that off?
Elon Musk could.
Because I feel like, you know, if someone pulls up with a Windows phone and they're like, and they were like, yeah, and they walked up to me and they were like, I was like, what kind of phone is that? They were like, oh, it's running the Windows operating
system. If they knew
system.
How to use it, I would be impressed.
And they were just like, yeah, it's better, man. I would be like, okay, this guy's used. Trying a little hard, but you know, he's a hipster, maybe he's on to something.
Yeah,
but if someone pulled up and it's like, oh yeah, like this is a phone and it just like shows me TikTok notifications all the time, I would be like, what is your life like, what are you doing all day?
The accompanying smartwatch only has TikToks rolling. That's the only watch face you can have.
It's just like, yeah, your only watch face is like you tell the time by which TikTok is playing.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the Lumia 950 Windows 10 smartphone on Amazon right now, and yeah, you can totally buy these things. I kind of thought this operating system had been dead for a while, but it is not.
Hacker Slacker does not endorse purchasing Microsoft phones. You probably will hate the fact that you spent money on it, but
it's only $120.
Maybe for the sake of the show, we'll buy one that's like $50 and talk about it. In some future episode, but we'll have to see. Do you have anything else for the news?
That's what we need money for. We need the show to be successful so we can just buy random stuff and talk about it on the podcast.
Exactly. So we can have main topics, which unfortunately it looks like we won't tonight. It's 9:30 already. We went and had some food and then watched some basketball, but
we've been working real hard.
Yeah, working super hard. But we hope you enjoyed the news, big news segment we had today. A little bit shorter podcast. We're at 40 minutes right now, so not too bad, but hope you enjoyed. You can contact us on Twitter at HackersPod. Send us an email at hackerslackerpod@gmail.com. And we would just absolutely love to hear from you guys. And we will talk to you next week.
Bye.